Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. World without end. Amen. morning's confessional reading from the Office of Confession. Conceive articles of faith, it's Article 24, concerning the Mass. For as much, therefore, as the Mass with us has the example of the Church taken from the Scripture and the Fathers, we are confident that it cannot be disobeyed, especially since public ceremonies, for the most part, like those hitherto to use, are retained, only the number of the Masses that have differed, which because of the very great and manifest abuses, doubtless, might be profitable reduced. For in olden times, even in the churches most frequently, the Mass was not celebrated every day as the Egyptian history testifies. Again, in Alexandria, every Wednesday and Friday, the Scriptures are read and the doctrines exposed, and all things are done except the solemn rite of Holy Communion. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Deuteronomy, chapter 32. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive. I wound and I heal, and neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, I live forever. So far the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, Ephesians, chapter 3. Therefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the Church of Jesus Christ, through all the saints, world without end. Amen.
And in one Lord
peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is Unimportant People. And it's based upon our gospel, and I would like to read verse 12 of that gospel. Now when Jesus came to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of that city was with her. So far, please be seated. A vital part of our Christian confession has always been that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As Christians, we deny that Christ was a mere historical figure of past ages. We believe that he continues to come to us through word and sacrament. And whenever we read an account from the life of Christ, such as the one that is found in this morning's gospel, we seldom give much thought or pay much attention to such incidental phrases as Jesus went to a town named Nain. Usually phrases such as this spark no great interest. But consider for a moment the significance of that phrase. Archaeologists tell us that Nain was an unimportant small town. Its only claim to fame seemed to be that Jesus went there. But Jesus went. He went to a small town named Nain. Why? Because Jesus is not just the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the citizens in an unimportant town named Nain. The Savior of a seemingly unimportant widow and her unimportant son. And to this day, Jesus comes to unimportant towns and unimportant people. He comes to us in his word and in the sacrament of Holy Communion. He comes to build our kingdom among seemingly unimportant people and their unimportant children. As Jesus hallowed this insignificant town named Nain, so he hallows our unimportant town by involvement in our lives. And you can be sure that it was not a coincidence that just as Jesus arrived at the gates of that town, a funeral procession was coming out. Perhaps it was a little uncomfortable for the disciples and the crowds following Christ, but not uncomfortable for Jesus. Now normally, one would have stepped aside, if you will, in silent respect, and then continue on their way, but not so with Jesus Christ. Jesus walked directly to meet that funeral procession, as if this were the purpose of his visit to Nain. You see, Jesus comes not only for the living and the vibrant, but for the sick, the decaying, the dying. And so it is with this morning. Jesus comes not simply to be pampered in the comfort of a church where we put on our Sunday best manners. He comes to us through his word and through Holy Communion to meet the sick and the dying in their sins, and that's us, to relieve worry and fear, to bring comfort, strength, and guidance to all those who seek his aid. He comes to comfort not only the sick and the dying, but every decay of our sinful lives. He looks not at wealth or position. He looks at us. In Christ's visit to Nain, we read, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. we are told the Lord saw her and had compassion on her. That's why he came. He comes because of his compassion for each and every one of us. He comes in our fears, in our worries. He comes when we are concerned about our sins. Jesus came because he was interested in the loneliness of a widow who had been isolated by the death of her only son. Jesus is interested in the loneliness of all God's children who have been isolated from him by their own sin and face an eternal separation through death and judgment. As Jesus Christ came to that unimportant nameless widow, so he comes into our unimportant lives. He comes to our funerals. He sees our isolation. He sees our loneliness. And when the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with pity. He had compassion on her. Jesus not only sees our pain and grief, he bears and shares that grief. And he takes it on as if it were his very own. At this very moment, there are sorrows in the lives of people of this congregation. Sorrows as deep and painful as that of the widow of Nain. But the assuring truth of God's word is that at this very moment, theirs, to bring you comfort, to bring you peace. Jesus Christ is our compassionate hope and source in every burden of life, every problem, every sorrow. Now you and me may count but a little in this age of which regards human life so cheap that thousands can be killed in a moment, abortion promoted and protected. But in the Lord's sight, we are as his own. We are constantly guarded by his protective love and mercy. We have been purchased by the highest price ever paid, his suffering and death in our place. And by faith, we have become his beloved. Take Christ out of the hearts and the lives of people, and the world becomes chaotic, ruled by cruelty and terror. But keeping our hearts and eyes riveted on the crucified and resurrected Lord, believing that he is our support for falling, healing for our sin-sick souls, strength for the temptations that we are tempted with daily, and victory for the defeated, life for the dying, and forgiver of the sinner. We are secure for time and eternity. To hear that Jesus Christ is filled with compassion for unnamed people such as this widow demonstrates how aware he is of us and of our situation. The great love that God still holds for each and every one of us. And Jesus said to the widow, "Don't cry." And then he walked over and touched the coffin, and the men who were carrying it stopped. And Jesus said, "Young man, get up." And the dead man sat up, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Christ rules death. He has conquered death. Death is destroyed. Yes, death is a result of our sins, but Christ has conquered both sin and death. He took on sin in a personal way. He died our death, and he rose again from that death. His victorious cry to all who believe is, "Because I live, you also will live." He will give meaning and purpose to decaying lives. There was joy in the little town of Nain that day because Christ restored a life and gave a son back to his widowed mother. But there is far greater joy in knowing that Christ has given us back to our Heavenly Father. And each time we receive that assurance, through word and the sacrament of Holy Communion. And we can join with those unimportant people in that unimportant town. God has visited his people. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us through this morning and extend itself into the joy of eternal life heaven. Amen. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us this morning experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to the damnation. Take off from us this bodily garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith increase our love and hope, and after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Thank you.
and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do as often as you can in remembrance of me." After the same manner also took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he gave thanks, he gave them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto God for all your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take, eat. This is the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To death for all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed in the mission. Take, drink. This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
May this this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is the true Bible, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the true body.
that you would strengthen us in the same faith toward thee and the fruit of love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.